and welcome to Kingwood United Methodist Church. Thank you for joining us today. Wherever you're listening from and whatever service you're listening to, we strongly believe because of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, there is always more to life.
It is a beautiful day to welcome Jeremy Bass as we are in such an odd season. I will let you know that the Staff Parish Relations Committee will be sending out some information to you about when we will welcome Jeremy and his wife Erica through at a drive-through reception. So we've learned, unfortunately, how to do the drive-through receptions quite well. I want to share with you a scripture that sort of frames our thinking as Jeremy and I visit with you this morning. It is from Ephesians chapter 4. It'll be verse 7, then verses 11 through 13. I'm going to invite you to stand as you're able at home in respect to God's word. Hear now the scripture. But to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God, and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. This is the word of God for you and me, the people of God. Thanks be to God. You may be seated, and let's pray together. God, in this time of proclamation of your word, as you have given me the opportunity to inquire and ask of Jeremy, would you pour forth your blessing of your Holy Spirit, that we would hear with joy the way you have worked in his life, how you have called him into the ministry of your church, and how he has faithfully responded to the waters of his baptism. And help us, O God, to welcome not only Eric and Jeremy, but all who are around us in this journey of faith. For it is in the name of Christ that we pray, in the name of Christ we gather, and in the name of Christ that we will be the church in the world. And all of God's people did say, Amen. Amen. So this morning's format for the proclamation of the word is going to be an interview format, and I've had the opportunity to visit with Jeremy, and I have some leading questions that I hope will help to get you to know him a bit better. As we move into this, it's important to remember that in the United Methodist understanding, there is the general ministry of the church that we all participate in from the waters of our baptism, and there is the representative ministry that we participate in by virtue of being called and ordained. Jeremy is in this process, having completed his work at Asbury Seminary. He is a provisional member within the conference and is joining us in the journey. But to begin this journey, Jeremy, we both are preacher's kids. So how is being a preacher's kid, a Methodist preacher's kid especially, how did that impact your faith and your walk with Christ?
So one thing I really like to say about my faith journey is it's really a testament to infant baptism and how God works in our lives at, from the very earliest of age. There's never really been a part of my life where I can say Christ has been separate from it. And I think that's really a gift that my parents gave to me. Growing up in the church, my dad's a Methodist pastor. He's been at Friendswood now for the past 15 years. And so Friendswood is where I call home. And it's been really good to grow up in that family where we discipled each other at home, where it was a very loving family growing up. And it was just an opportunity for me to grow my faith, and if I had any questions, I kind of had an expert in the house. And so that was really helpful for me growing up, and just always being a part of the church, being around the church, going to youth group all the time, just feeling God's love through the church has been a huge blessing, especially to me in my life.
That's beautiful to hear. As you experience ministry as a calling, how would you describe and let us know about that call to ministry that you felt from God?
Yeah, so I thought I was going to go to Texas A&M to study genetics and do science research, do genetics research is what my plan was. God has different plans as it usually works out in our lives. And I went to a UM Army mission trip in the summer in between my sophomore and junior year. And it was my color group's turn to lead worship that night. And they needed someone to do the opening prayer. And I said, I'm a good PK. I'll do the opening prayer. And so I go up, and what can only be described as a holy moment, just the Holy Spirit overcomes me and just starts speaking through me And I just remember having this thought while I was praying, words are coming out of my mouth, but they're not my thoughts and they're not my words. And then right when I thought that, I just hear the voice of God say to me, this is what I want you to do for the rest of your life. And I didn't want to do that for the rest of my life. And so I spent probably the next year and a half to 2 years kind of running from that, you know, still trying to do that genetics dream that I had. And but slowly but surely, God does this funny thing of making his dreams grow in our heart and make our dreams fade. And so I went to Jarnbine University, which is a private Christian school up in Northwest Arkansas off the Oklahoma-Arkansas border. And I went there because they had a good science program and also a good Bible program. So I figured if the whole Bible thing doesn't work out, I can always do my back door into science. And I took my Intro to the Old Testament my very first semester at JBU and just absolutely fell in love with it. And just from the first class, I knew this is what God's called me to do. And just following God after that is really blossomed from there, I would say. And it was at JBU I met my wife, Erica, so I'm pretty happy about that.
That's awesome. That's awesome. So those who are Aggies know that not everybody is called to College Station. Some are called away from it, so we just want to make sure we're clear about that. So a little whoop out to all the Aggies out there. In life and in journeys, there are always sort of significant moments. Sometimes those are significant disappointments, significant important moments. How would you share a couple of the significant faith-forming moments in your journey of faith for us?
Yeah, so one of the benefits of John Brown is they do a weekly, or no, sorry, not weekly. Every other year, they go to Jordan to do a archaeological dig. And so that was one of the things that I was able to do in between my sophomore and junior year. I went to Jordan, did archaeology. And Jordan is a mostly Muslim country. Evangelism is illegal in Jordan. And we went to a tiny town out in the middle of nowhere where we were probably the only Christians that these people would see their entire lives. The only interactions they would have with Christianity. There wasn't a church, I think, for 100 miles around. And so we went to this place, and the thing that overwhelmed me about Jordan was just the spiritual darkness of that area. You'd wake up at the crack of dawn hearing the Islamic call to prayer, and you'd go to bed hearing the Islamic call to prayer and how that just structured the whole day. And we went in 2014 or 15, right around then. It was at the height of the Syrian civil war and at the height of ISIS. And we were just probably 50 to 100 miles. I'm not good with geography. That's why I'm up here. Away from the Syrian border, and you could hear the bombs from the Syrian civil war going off during the archaeological dig. And I remember there was this one night, we were all asleep, just dead asleep, and the whole building shakes, and I wake up freaking out, like, this is it, Jesus is coming back. But no, Jesus didn't come back. It was, and so we're all freaking out, and we have no idea what's happening. We don't know if we're being attacked or anything like that. And the next day, we go out to the dig site, and right before, my professor comes up, and he tells us that what happened was is two families were trying to escape Syria to Jordan to free the war, and the government planes dropped a 50-gallon drum filled with explosives from a helicopter on them and killed all of them. Wow. And we went to an Islamic worship service, and I saw all my friends that I had come to know, you know, worshiping a God that wasn't there. And it was just the distance that Islam had from God was just, it just struck me as different. And we took communion while the Muslim call to prayer was going. And I just remember thinking, like, Lord, there's so much darkness in this country. Where are you? And one Saturday, we went to a town a couple hours away called Mafraq, which was another town on the Syrian-Jordanian border. And it was a refugee city, so a lot of refugees from Syria came from Syria into Jordan. And there was this one tiny church. And by tiny, I mean really tiny. So it's the type of church that, as a Methodist pastor, you'd be upset to go to. You know, it was 60 people. It was a very small church. And they did not let their size diminish their kingdom impact. They said, you know, God has placed us here for a reason. and we're going to be the light of Christ in this community. And it was a church of about 60 people and about 70 international volunteers that came. And they said, we have all these Syrian refugees coming. How can we show the gospel to them? They came over with literally nothing but the clothes on their back. So they decided, why don't we give them a care package? And so what they would do is they would give them mattresses, a pillow, a gas stove, and a can of gas, basic necessities that we just don't even worry about. These people needed as they came. And this small church of 60 people was able to touch, when I was there, 40,000 families, which was about 250 to 300,000 people. That this small church had a huge kingdom impact, because that's kind of what God does. Is, and what that taught me about God in that trip is we so limit our scope of what God can do. We think that we have to be a church of this size in order to do huge kingdom impact. That's, it's in the big things that God works. But, you know, God created a movement with just 11 disciples, and the whole thing exploded from there. That, what if God is so much greater than we can possibly think of? And while I was serving with these people, the thing that stood out to me, or the verse that came into my mind, was John, the opening verses of John, where it says, the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. And the pastor said to us, these people in Syria are Muslims, and all they experience is Muslims killing other Muslims. And they come to Jordan, and they're discriminated against by their fellow Muslims because they're cheaper labor taking Jordanian jobs. And the first people that show them kindness are Christians. And so evangelism, in a place where evangelism is illegal, they said, we will still evangelize by being a light in the dark world.
Thanks again for joining us for today's message. We will return to the sermon in a moment, but first, we would like to ask for you to rate, share, and subscribe to our podcast. We believe God is doing some amazing things here at KUMC, and your feedback helps our church to reach new listeners that we wouldn't otherwise be able to reach. Now, let's get back to the Word.
Another thing that's been really impactful in my life, I'm really honest. I tried to keep that sort of veil of perfectionism up for such a long time. It's really easy to do that in a place like Friendswood. In fact, it's pretty much encouraged to do in a place like Friendswood, pretend everything's all right. But really, everything's not all right. We're all humans. We all experience heartache, loss, grief. We all have these hurts, habits, and hang-ups using Celebrate Recovery language. And so I try to not do that anymore. I'm very intentional about trying to be vulnerable with y'all. And one of the ways that, probably the biggest struggle in my life has been my struggle with anxiety. It started when I was in kindergarten, I think, and it's kind of come in spurts ever since then. And one of the most beautiful things in my life has been seeing God move in that space from, I'll tell you a story about me and a child here in a bit, but from when I was a child to college to seminary, and just coming to believe that God is sending me on this healing journey, where I believe he'll set me free from these anxieties, and just how God has set me free from stronger anxieties, and how I'm just getting better and better, and just how the Lord has been just sending me on this healing journey. I'll start off when I first had these panic attacks. I was in kindergarten, and when you're in kindergarten, you can't really put words to it. You can't really describe what's going on or, cope with it much. And I remember it was out of control, where it was just pretty much every day I'd have like this massive panic attack, and it was affecting how I lived each day. And then there was one time I just went to sleep and had this dream, and it was just a peaceful vision, and it was just me and God like rolling a ball back and forth to each other. And it was so calm, it was so peaceful. And I remember saying to him, I'm not really afraid right now. And he said to me, you never have to be afraid when I'm around. And isn't that just like God? That in the moment where we need him the most, he speaks to us and he shows up. And so that's really what I'm all about, is just getting people in touch with that God who just shows up right in those moments, who shows up and speaks to our deepest wounds and speaks to our deepest hurts. And so I'll you know, I try to be vulnerable with y'all because I believe that it's in our vulnerabilities. What is it Paul says? That it's in my weakness that God's power is made evident. And so I want God to be powerful. I don't want me to be powerful. So it's in my weakness I'll boast all the more, for that's in when God's strength is most clear.
It's beautiful to hear. We shared early on, you were in Jordan. I was in Jordan in February of this year. And to see the progress that's been made there with the respect for the voice of the Christian church, especially in areas like Madaba, in Amman, it's a beautiful thing. It's the witness of the church under difficult times. Thank you for sharing that. Tell us a little bit about your journey in the church you served during seminary.
Yeah, so the church I was at in seminary was a recovery church, I would say. That was kind of the primary ministry. They really felt like God had called them to reach sort of the fringes of society, I think the language they use is the people that no one else wanted, but God deeply, deeply desires. So it was a church about recovery, about freedom. And it was in that setting that I really learned that the gospel, that the heart of the gospel is about setting people free. It's about setting people free using celebrate recovery language, hurts, habits, and hangups. But one thing that really got refined at seminary was it's not just freedom from these things that hang us up in life, but it's freedom for something better. That John 10:10, I've come that you might have life and have it abundantly. That Jesus doesn't just come to wash away our sins, but to give us fullness of life, fullness of himself, and that it's in that fullness of life that I feel like God's called me to just proclaim this gospel, that God has come to fully set you free, but God has fully come to set you free for life in him. And that church really was instrumental in sort of refining that vision of the gospel for me.
That's beautiful. Erica, I'm going to ask you to come up and join Jeremy here so I can introduce Erica to you all as well at home. And Erica and Jeremy have put an offer in on a house here in Kingwood area. They'll be closing hopefully mid-July. But to get to know you guys a little bit better, the staff submitted over 70 either-or questions. Now, I'm not going to read all 70, but I'm sort of hitting some of the highlights so that the congregation can get to know you better. And both of you can feel free to answer, because we're going to put you right on the spot and we'll find out how are things going in the Bass household, right? So question number one would be either-or, Bluebell or Briars?
Bluebell.
Yeah, soft pitch. That was a softball lob, wasn't it? Apple fritters or jelly donuts?
Apple fritters.
Same.
Boneless chicken wings or bone-in chicken wings?
Bone-in, better.
Boneless, easy.
Boneless for Erica, bone-in. Jeremy, okay. Sweet or unsweet tea?
Unsweet.
Ugh. I don't like
Are you a sweet tea?
She's a neither. She doesn't
oh, you're
like
neither.
Tea.
You're yeah. no tea.
Give me coffee.
Coffee.
Yeah.
You'll get along just fine in here. Just fine. Now, this one is what probably fractures this congregation socially more than anything else. Whataburger or Chick-fil-A?
She doesn't like Whataburger.
I
like Whataburger.
You're a Whataburger Chick-fil-A?
I'm a diehard Whataburger.
Okay, sounds like the Palmer household. Would you rather meet J.J. Watt or Jose Altuve?
I think J.J. Watt would get me more clout, so I would say J.J. Watt.
J.J. Watt or Jose Altuve, Erica?
I do recognize both of those names.
Okay, she said she recognizes both the names. Do we want to come back to that? Yeah, we'll come back to that for you. Okay, all right. Ketchup or mustard?
Mustard, because I'm not a child anymore.
Mustard, because I'm not a child anymore.
I just like mustard. I don't have a caveat to that.
Beach or mountains?
Beach.
Mountains.
Beach, mountains. You're at a movie, popcorn or candy?
Popcorn.
Popcorn.
Okay. Are you an early bird or a night owl?
Night owl. Night owl.
Oh, that's good. Fishing or kayaking?
Both. At the same time.
At the same time.
Kayaking.
Thank you. Righty or lefty?
Righty.
Yeah.
The righties? Okay. Sorry, Matt. Righties. But in golf, you'll be okay with lefties, right?
I have to learn how to golf first.
You have to learn how to golf first. Okay. Domino's or Pizza Hut?
Pizza Hut.
No strong preference. I like all the pizza.
You like all the pizza. And then my personal submission, Kingwood Taco Shop or Taco Bell?
I feel like I have to say Kingwood Taco Shop now.
Yes.
You feel like you have to?
You know what?
Trust me. I will introduce you to Kingwood Taco Shop very soon. And Greg Motta will be happy to see you. I even saw him yesterday. So we are delighted that you're both with us. To get to know you better, we look forward to passing all the social distancing so that you all can get to know Eric and Jeremy better. Would you join with me at home? Now, I know this could be odd. If neighbors are driving by your house, they'll wonder why you're doing this. But I invite you, I know it's odd, but extend your hands if you desire. If you were here, we would have Erica and Jeremy kneel at the kneelers, and you would place hands on them. So in spirit, reach out your hands and join me in praying for Erica and Jeremy. Let's pray together. God, we're grateful that you equip everyone that you call for the work of your kingdom, and everybody that you call is equipped. We give you thanks for the ways that you have poured into Jeremy's life, for the ways you have worked from the waters of his baptism to the moment that he has joined us in this journey at Kingwood. Would you bless Eric and Jeremy in their journey of marriage together? Bless them as they come to walk alongside the work that you are doing as we join you in the work of the world. By the power of your Holy Spirit, strengthen them for all that lays ahead. Help the transitions to be smooth, and help us to welcome them in a place where we believe that all are welcome. We pray this in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and all of God's people did say,